Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day?
Thunderdog was because Roselle was afraid of thunder, although what happened wasn't thunder that day. But the other part of it was that the sounds were thunderous sounds. So, you know, the marketing crew at Thomas Nelson Publishers, who published the book, suggested that, and we all thought about it, and it grew on us, and we liked it, and it certainly seems to be received well. I had a chance to revisit a lot of memories, but, you know, what I do now for a living is I travel, and I speak to companies and to groups and to organizations, talking in part about our story, but using that to talk about teamwork and trust and moving on after any kind of change in our lives and how to move forward in this bizarre world we live in where so many crazy things are happening. So I work to give people some lessons about how to do that, because, in fact, I had to do that after September 11, 2001, and I was able to talk about my story, which I think was a real great blessing, and from that then led to having the career that I have in speaking. So literally, I will travel the world to talk about that. And so I had a lot of the memories, and that helped in writing the book, but still putting everything down, bringing in more memories, talking about my life, and then in words, the lessons that I talked about and talk about in my speeches, and putting all that down, I think certainly was a good thing to do.
Our office suite consisted of four large rooms, side by side, overlooking Southwest New York City. David Frank, a Quantum colleague, arrived. Roselle snuggled into her favorite spot under my desk. This was her usual office hangout, when not performing her self-assigned duty as greeter. I carefully slid my feet out from under Roselle's sleepy head. Then, just as I stand up and turn to the supply cabinet to get some more letterhead, I hear a tremendous boom. It is 8:46 a.m.
This just in, you were looking at obviously a very disturbing live shot there. That is the World Trade Center, and we have unconfirmed reports this morning that a plane has crashed into one of the towers of the World Trade Center. CNN Center right now is just beginning to work on this story, obviously calling our sources and trying to figure out exactly what happened, but clearly something relatively devastating happening this morning there.
At the time of 9/11, I was working in the World Trade Center along with my guide dog, Roselle. And we were in the World Trade Center on the 78th floor of Tower 1 when the building was attacked. We didn't even know what actually happened, although we had some clues, but we didn't know until both towers had collapsed. And then I called my wife, and she's the one who first told us how airplanes had been crashed into the towers, one to the Pentagon and another was still missing.
The building shudders violently, then starts to groan and slowly tip to the southwest. In slow motion, the tower leans over something like 20 feet. I grew up in earthquake country near the San Andreas Fault in Southern California, so my first instinct is to go and stand in the doorway. But I know this is no earthquake. Roselle stays put under my desk while David clutches it for support. Ceiling tiles fall to the floor. We are both confused. What could that have been? David and I ask. Was it an explosion? Something hitting the building? What could make it tilt that way? Could it be an attack? No, it doesn't make sense to put a bomb that high up. It must be some kind of gas explosion. As we talk, the building continues tilting. Disaster seems imminent. Another few seconds, and I fear the building will fall over, and we will plummet to the street. God, don't let this building tip over, I pray silently. Tearfully, David and I say goodbye. I'm pretty sure I'm going to die. Then slowly, miraculously, the tilting stops, and the building begins to right itself. The whole episode lasts about a minute.
My guide dog and I had to work to get some other people out of our office and started down the stairs, and then after everyone else was gone and we knew they were gone, then we escaped, and I, along with a colleague, David Frank, from our corporate office, who was in for the day, I went down the stairs.
Roselle pauses at the top of the stairs. Through the harness, I can feel her look up at me for direction. She is calm, standing quietly. I wonder what she's thinking. Forward, I say with confidence. But my mind immediately begins to wander. What are we getting ourselves into? How many people are already in this stairwell trying to leave at the same time? How long is it going to take us to get out? My right hand clutches the rail attached to the wall, while my left hand grips Roselle's leather leash and the leather-covered handle on her guide dog harness. She can relax a bit now. Her job at this point is to watch the people around us and alert me to any hazards, both below and above. Her brow furrows a bit as her face takes on a look of intense concentration.
We had power and lighting going down the stairs. There wasn't a lot of heavy smoke, and we had the fumes from burning jet fuel that we smelled, sometimes stronger and sometimes less. But going down the stairs, a lot of us worked very hard to not allow panic to enter into what we were doing to go down and get out. So that was a conscious effort, and that was a difficult thing to, at times, make sure we did. But I think a number of people worked very hard, I included, to keep people focused. There was a time that as we were going down the stairs, my biggest fear was we would lose lighting, and then I'd be stuck on the stairs with thousands of functionally blind people who couldn't find their way out of a paper bag. And there was a point where I said, now I don't want anyone to worry, and I said it fairly loud so people would hear it. If we happen to lose our lighting, don't worry. Roselle is here. She's my guide dog. I'm blind, and we're offering a half-price special to get you out today only. And I did that very deliberately, partly because I wanted people to know there was a way to deal with it, and it made me feel better. And it brought a little levity to the stairwell, and that was also helpful.
Guide Dog Wisdom, What I Learned from Roselle on 9/11. There's a time to work and a time to play. Know the difference. When the harness goes on, it's time to work. Work hard. Others are depending on you. Focus in and use all of your senses. Learn to tell the difference between a harmless thunderstorm and a true emergency. Don't let your sight get in the way of your vision. Sometimes the way is hard, but if you work together, someone will pass along a water bottle just when you need it. Always, but always, kiss firefighters. Ignore distractions. There's more to life than playing fetch or chasing tennis balls. Listen carefully to those who are wiser and more experienced than you. They'll help you find the way. Don't stop until work is over. Sometimes being a hero is just doing your job. The dust cloud won't last forever. Keep going and look for the way out. It will come. Shake off the dust and move on. Remember the first guide dog command. Forward.
Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day?